الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فمرحبا بطلاب العلم أهل السنة Welcome students of knowledge Welcome noble brothers from أهل السنة May Allah bless you and increase you in beneficial knowledge and righteous actions This is الدورة الرابعة الدورة الرابعة من مجالس الاخره This is the fourth seminar from the seminars which are entitled The Gatherings of the Hereafter مجالس الاخره The Gatherings of the Hereafter The inspiration for the title series of seminars that we have around this time every year here in Masjid Tawheed is that which has been narrated from Abu Dawood Sijistani صاحب السنن رحمه الله تعالى He died in the year 275. He said, رحمه الله كانت مجالس أحمد مجالس الآخرة. He said that the gatherings of Ahmad, يعني الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى, they were the gatherings of the hereafter. كانت مجالس أحمد مجالس الآخرة. That the gatherings of Ahmad, they were the gatherings of the hereafter. أبو داود رحمه الله تعالى is from the greatest students of الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى يسأل لا يذكر فيها شيء من أمر الدنيا Nothing was mentioned whatsoever in his gatherings from the affairs of the worldly life. He said ما رأيته ذكر الدنيا قط. He said I never seen him mentioning the worldly life ever. I never seen him ever mentioning the worldly life ever. Meaning mentioning the affairs of the worldly life for the sake of the worldly life. With lust and desire or craving for the worldly life. Rather, no doubt the affairs of the worldly life would be mentioned. And discussion would be with regards to the rulings and that which is permissible and that which is lawful and that which is obligatory and that which is forbidden and that which is unlawful and that which is prohibited and that which is a good way and proper and correct in creed and belief and worship and manners and methodology and way and likewise that which is contrary and that which is contrary. So the gatherings, there would be gatherings that they're intended to learn the religion of Allah, to be reminded about the greatness and the majesty of Allah and the rights of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise the deen of Allah and the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah and to warn and to admonish the people and to warn and to admonish the people from the pathways that lead to deviation. So the gatherings of Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, they were the gatherings of the hereafter. They were the gatherings of the hereafter. Somebody like this has been collected by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala from the narration of Anas ibn Malik that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَالِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا that if you pass by the gardens of paradise the gardens of Jannah فَارْتَعُوا and they partake and enjoy yourself therein and they said Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَمَا رِيَالِ الْجَنَّةِ what are the gardens of paradise what are you referring to here What are you referring to here in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, Hilaq al-dhikr. Hilaq al-dhikr. There are the circles of remembrance. There are the circles of remembrance. And the circles of knowledge. Meaning the circles of knowledge. Where the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarified. And likewise the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the legislation and the prescribed law of al-Islam is mentioned in detail and beneficial admonition. It's been narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. كان إذا ذكر قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رياض الجنة حلق الذكر that whenever he would mention the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the gardens of paradise, they are the circles. They are the circles of remembrance. He would say radiyallahu anhu أما إني لا أعني القصاص ولكن حلق الفقه لكن حلق الفقه He said I'm not referring to the gatherings of admonition and qussas, yani al-wa'aw. I'm not referring to the gatherings of the admonitions, yani this is what may first come to one's mind whenever he hears the likes of these affairs, the gatherings of the hereafter, or the circles of remembrance, that they'll remember Allah, and they'll remember the hereafter, and they'll have admonition and likes like this. He says, أَمَّا إِنِّي لَا أَعْنِي الْقُصَّاصِ Whenever I hear this, that the gardens of paradise, they are the circles of remembrance. I'm not referring to the admonitions, those who are giving the admonition. He says, لكن حلق الفقه. But I'm referring to the circles of الفقه, yani understanding in the religion. The gatherings where the understanding of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being clarified. Likewise, it has been narrated from Ata' al-Khurasani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the scholars of the Tabi'een. He said, majalis wa dhikr, majalis al-halali wal-haram. That the majalis dhikr, the gatherings of remembrance, they are the gatherings of the halal and the haram. Meaning that which is permissible and that which is impermissible, where it's being clarified. He says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, kayfa tashtari wa kayfa tabi'a. How do you buy and sell? وَتُصَلِي وَتُسُومْ وَتَنْكِحُ وَتُطَلِّقْ. And how you pray and how you fast. وَتَنْكِحُ وَتُطَلِّقْ وَأَشْبَاهُ هَذَا وَأَشْبَاهُ هَذَا. And how you get married and how you divorce and the likes like this. So he's saying here that what's being referred to from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Riyal al-Jannah, the gardens of paradise, meaning here on earth, حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ. They are the circles of remembrance. They're the gatherings of knowledge. They're majalis al-akhirah, the gatherings of the hereafter. He's saying this is the gatherings where the halal and the haram is being clarified. This is the gatherings where a person who will learn how to buy and sell according to the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will learn the limits of Allah azza wa jal. He will learn how to live a life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كيف تصلي, كيف تصوم, how you pray, how you fast. And meaning how you pray the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. The one who said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. And pray in the manner you see me pray. This requires knowledge. This requires knowledge from the proper source. I'm taking knowledge from those who saw him pray and narrated the description of that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَيْفَ تَسُومُ. And how you fast likewise. You have to learn how to fast. And this is going back to learning from those who learned how to fast from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and prayed and fasted along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and narrated to us these affairs. So the gatherings of remembrance and the gatherings of the hereafter, they're the gatherings of knowledge and understanding in the religion. They're the gatherings of knowledge, the gatherings along with the people of knowledge, the great scholars, and likewise the students of knowledge who are upright upon their way. How do you get married and how do you get divorced? Meaning according to the prescribed law, according to the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what is intended from the gatherings of knowledge. It's been narrated likewise from Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, darsu al-fiqh salat. Darsu al-fiqh salat. That studying fiqh, and studying fiqh and jurisprudence, understanding in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a type of salat. I mean, it's a type of prayer and devotion. It's an action of worship, from the best actions of worship. That it must be sincerity for the sake of Allah. It must be in accordance to the legislation and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His pleasure. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore we must seek knowledge with sincerity and purity of intention, believing in the knowledge that it's from the revelation and that it's law and legislation, it's prescribed way that leads to the pleasure of Allah. That leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek that knowledge with hopes to implement it in our lives. And we seek that knowledge with hopes to implement it in our lives. And likewise, it's been mentioned as well, وَكَانَ أَبُوْ الصوار العدوي في حلقة يتذكرون العلم. That Abu Sawar from the Tabi'in, likewise, he was in a circle of knowledge and they're reviewing and going over knowledge. ومعهم فتى شاب فقال لهم قولوا سبحان الله قولوا سبحان الله والحمد لله. And along with him in this gathering, he's from the scholars of hadith, he's in a gathering with the students and they're reviewing and going over knowledge. And then a young man who's along with them, someone who is younger, he says to them, say subhanAllah, say alhamdulillah. This is supposed to be a gathering of dhikr. You need to be praising Allah and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's mentioned in the narration, فَغَضِبَ أَبُو الصَّوَّرُ وَقَالَ وَيْحَكَ فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ كُنَّا إِذًا فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ كُنَّا إِذًا. He says, what's wrong with you? If we're to do that, what do you think we'll be doing? That we'll be leaving something that takes precedence and is greater and more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something that is lesser. No doubt saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, this is something that is a great benefit. But the benefit is restricted to the individual. As for seeking knowledge, then the benefit is for mankind. Anyone who learns and is upright upon that way, he will benefit himself and then be a benefit for the people. He will adorn himself with that knowledge and benefit from that and be upright in his creed, methodology, manners, and behavior and conduct. And likewise, he will help others upon that way. So it's greater. It's greater. Seeking knowledge is greater than making tasbih and the likes like this. These details, some of them, they will come in the text that we're going to study, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the narrations with regards to this, there are many, clarifying the virtues of the gatherings of knowledge. The gatherings of knowledge, the gatherings of the hereafter, the gatherings of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the gatherings that the angels they attend, and the righteous and pious they attend, and there is great benefit that comes by way of them, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People find happiness and contentment and joy and ease and peace of mind in those gatherings, and likewise benefit in their life after that, in this world and in the hereafter, in this world and in the hereafter. So this life is a passing enjoyment, and it's by learning the true reality of this life and learning the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person, he will be able to traverse safely. That a person, he will be able to traverse safely in this life and lead a life that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Live and die upon tawheed and the sunnah and the methodology of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is the great success, and this is the great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned, the greatest honor and the greatest miracle that could occur at the hand of a righteous person by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, the greatest favor that Allah will bestow upon a person, the greatest miracle that could be performed at the hands of a human being in these days, for example, is that he will be granted success to live an upright life of piety and obedience upon the straight path until he dies. That he dies while his feet are planted firmly on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the greatest honor. This is the true success. That whenever death comes to a person, he is obedient and his soul is pure and clean, and he is upon a way that's pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the angels, they come to him giving him salam. Salamun alaykum tibatum. You did good. You did good. As for contrary to that, the soul is taken with force and with evil and with violence, will yadhi billah, for those who die in a contrary manner. So success is not from this worldly aspect, rather success is by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and living and dying upon Islam. And living and dying upon Islam, the Islam that was prescribed above the heavens and revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which he taught his companions radiallahu anhum, and that which they were upon. And that which they were upon on the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. On this day, I have completed your religion for you, and I have perfected my favor upon you, and I am pleased for you with that Islam as a deen, a religion and way of life. A religion and way of life. So in order to live upon the deen of Islam, one, he has to know it, he has to learn it, he has to see it in detail and understand it and believe in it and follow it. And he also has to learn that which is contrary. And he also has to learn that which is contrary and that which is in opposition and contradiction to that way in order to traverse upon the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swiftly in a good manner. Swiftly in a good manner without any deterrence or being hindered from the way because of sins or because of misguidance and deviation and innovation or because of disbelief in shirk. So this life is something that's a passing enjoyment. This life is something that is a passing enjoyment, and the hereafter is the true life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. That indeed the abode of the hereafter is the true life. لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ يعني الْحَيَاتِ الْحَقِيقِيَّةِ الْأَبَدِيَّةِ. It's the true life, the pure life, the hayat that is everlasting with no end. And the true life in the hereafter is that in paradise and in Jannah. Is that in paradise in Jannah, where there's nothing but happiness and joy, and there's no sorrow or heartache, and there's no pain, there's no problems, there's no arguing and quarreling in the paradise. So that's the true life. This is the life that we must work for. This life is not going to last. And no matter what we obtain from this life, from the worldly affair and from the physical wealth and property, it will not last, and we cannot take it with us. That which comes along with us is our deeds. That which comes along with this is our deeds. And our greatest role model with regards to this is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's been collected by Tirmidhi and likewise Ibn Majah rahimahumullah from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says, Nama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala hasir. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sleeping on a mat. فَقَامَ وَقَدْ أَثَّرَ فِي جَنْبِهِ. And he stood up and the mat was so harsh it had left imprints on his side. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's coarse, it's not soft, it's not comfortable in the likes like this. فَقُولْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ اتَّخَذْنَا لَكَ وِطَاعًا. He said, O Messenger of Allah, we'll get you a pillow or a nice pad for you to lay on, something soft, and for you to put down to lay on. فَقَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَالِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا. مَالِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا. What attachment do I have to this worldly life? What desire, hope, or lust, or love do I have for this worldly life. ما أنا في الدنيا إلا كراكب استظل تحت شجرة ثم راح فتركها. Me in this worldly life is nothing but the example of a rider, meaning someone who's traveling on a path, heading to a destination. And he took rest under a tree, under the shade of a tree, and soon he's going to get up and leave the tree. And this is because the shade of the tree, it is only a brief enjoyment. It will be there for a moment and then it will go away. And that's the example of this life. Likewise, the beauty of this life and the glitter of this life and the happiness and the joy of this life and the strength and the health of this life, so on and so forth. It's like a tree with shade and a nice tree. The tree is going to wither up and the shade is going to go away. So only a fool will be attached to it. Only a fool will be attached to it. Even if the tree doesn't wither up right away, the shade will go away. And whenever the shade is gone, maybe he's under the tree, but eventually the tree is going to wither up and fall. And it's going to die and go away. So likewise, this life is going to go away. And we're going to die, and we're going to die and go away. Mali wa dunya. I have with me. I have no attachment to the worldly life. And likewise in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhumah, he says, أَخَذَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمَنْكِبِهِ فَقَالَ, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم took me by my shoulder and he said, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَكَ غَرِيبٌ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. He said to him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, you should be in this worldly life as if you're a stranger. أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ, rather a wayfarer. You should be in this life as if you're a stranger. Rather, you should be like a wayfarer. Because a stranger, maybe he is going through this life and he's a stranger in the land, but maybe he'll find a place that's suitable and he'll take up residence there. He'll take up residence there. As for the wayfarer, as for the traveler, no matter what the case, no matter how long he's in a particular land, he will not remain there. He will move. So this is how a person should be in this life, because we're not going to stay. Whether we're going to move, we're going to move. Hatta zurtum al-maqabir. Al-maqabir, until you visit the graves. So this life will deter many people until they visit the graves. The point that we want to make now, barakallahu fikum, that Allah has described the grave as a visit. Likewise, the grave is not a place of residing. The people there will not remain there either. We will not remain in this life and we will not remain in the grave. Rather, there's a resurrection. Yawm fi yawmin azim. Rather, there's a day of resurrection. Fi yawmin azim. Yawma yakumu nasu. لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, on a tremendous day, on a day when all mankind will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we must prepare for that day and work for that day, not work for this day. Whether that which we work in this life, we do it for the sake of Allah, seeking His pleasure in the hereafter. We take our good provision from that which is lawful in this life to reach our goal and our aim. And that is the pleasure of Allah in the home in the hereafter. We will not be preoccupied with this worldly life and distracted from the reality of the meeting of Allah azza wa jal. Rather, we'll take from this life that which is lawful and will partake in that which is permissible and allowed, and our heart will be attached to Allah and will seek His pleasure. Even the pleasures that we find in this life, we'll seek His pleasure by way of them and taking pleasure in them because they're lawful, so we partake in them because they're lawful. We declare them to be halal because we believe in our Lord and His legislation and He said they're halal. And because we believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his sunnah, laws and legal ways, and He declared them to be halal by the permission of Allah, so we partake in it based upon creed and based upon belief. And likewise, we refrain from that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam have forbidden. And if we ever slipped and fell victim to the whispers of the devil or our desires based upon that creed, it would carry us to feel bad and have remorse and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, a person who will strive on the path of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, working for the hereafter. Working for the hereafter, because the one who works for this life, no matter what he gathers and no matter what he obtains, it's not going to last for him. So why work for something that doesn't last? Work for something that never ends, and that is the hereafter. It has been connected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Mustawrid, radiallahu anhu, that he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi ma dunya fi al-akhirah illa mithlu ma yaj'al ahadukum isba'ahu hadhihi. فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا تَرْجِعَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by Allah that this life in comparison to the hereafter is nothing but the example or the parable of one of you placing this finger here, the pointer finger. One of the narrators, he raised his finger. In the narration of Sahih Muslim, the pointer finger, السَّبَابَ. And he said that you place it in the sea, and you pull it out. What is remaining? That you place it in the sea, and then when you pull it out, you see what is remaining. So if we look into the sea, If we look into the sea many times, you will not be able to see the shore on the other side because of how vast it is. So if a person here were to dip his finger into the sea and pull it out, let him look at how much remains. So this is the comparison of this life and the hereafter. That which is remaining in, from the water of the sea, this is the comparison of the hereafter compared to what which is remaining on the finger. Compared to that which is remaining on the finger. It's almost nothing. It's almost nothing. A person, if he said, it's literally nothing, this is not making mubalagha. Compared to the other one, it's almost nothing, the amount that comes back on his finger. And then if we ponder that amount on the finger, it will not last. It will not last. It will evaporate and go away briefly. It will evaporate and go away briefly. So that which actually comes is very little, and that little amount, it does not remain, but for a moment. But for a moment. So that's the parable and the example of this life compared to the hereafter. And in the hereafter, it's either going to be happiness and joy, pleasure and honor from Allah Azza wa Jalla, or it's going to be pain and heartache and humiliation from the Lord of the worlds, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So therefore, a believer, he has to make preparation. He has to make preparation. And this is by preparing for the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by sitting in the gatherings of the hereafter, and sitting in the gatherings of remembrance, and sitting in the gatherings of knowledge, and seeking understanding in the religion, sincerity for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. And whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him understanding in the deen, as is narrated by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhum, which is muttafiqun alayhi, man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen. That whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him understanding in the religion. مَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. That whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him understanding in the religion. Meaning that this person, he will become interested in the religion about Islam. He'll become interested in the creed, in the aspects of creed. And he will become interested in the law and legislation, and the halal and the haram. He'll become interested in learning about the actions of worship, tahara, and the issues related to tahara will become interesting for him. He will have time for that. He will have money for that. He will have effort for that. Salah and the issues related to salah, these affairs will become interesting to him. And he'll start to learn, and he'll start to seek, and he'll start to ask, and he'll start to review. He'll start to listen. He'll start to have time to learn his religion. The affairs of zakat will become beautiful in his heart, beautified. He wants to learn about that and know about it. He will start talking about the deen. He will start talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will search for those who have more knowledge than him, and he will benefit from them. He will benefit from them. This is whenever Allah wants good for some. Whenever Allah wants good for someone who grants him an understanding in the religion. فَمَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ يَهَدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whomsoever Allah wants to guide, he will open his chest to Islam. And meaning he will make Islam adorned in his heart, and beautiful and attractive and very interesting. Very interesting. He'll start learning for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the case. We must learn and gain an understanding in the religion. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, about the salaf, لم يكن السلف يطلقون اسم الفقه إلا على العلم الذي صاحبه العمل. That the salaf, they did not used to use the term fiqh, any understanding in the religion, except to refer to knowledge that's accompanied by action. So we seek knowledge, and we sit in the gatherings of knowledge, and review knowledge, and we memorize the text, and we study the Quran, we study the Sunnah, the narrations of the Sahaba, and the scholars of Hadith, Alhamdulillah, and the different sciences, with the intention to apply that knowledge in our life. With the intention to apply that knowledge in our life, in public and in private, when the people see us and whenever the people cannot see us. Brother, we'll strive to be even more sincere and pious whenever we're alone, because we know at this time Allah can see us. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the intention, that we will learn knowledge for the hereafter. So that's why they're called majalis al-akhirah. That's why they're called majalis al-akhirah, because the intent to learn, even if a person is speaking about, for example, marriage, or if he's speaking about any of the affairs of the worldly life whatsoever, even that which is pleasurable and enjoyable from marriage, and that which comes along with that, from marriage, so on and so forth, even if there's a discussion related to this, is for the sake of the hereafter, in order to learn and be upon clarity that which is allowed and permissible, and that which is good and recommended, and that which is forbidden and haram, and that which is foul and lowly, and that which is discouraged and disliked. So a person, he can traverse upon that way in his marriage, for example, upon light and guidance, upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a gathering of the hereafter. No doubt if you're studying creed and aqidah and the names and attributes of Allah azza wa jalla, it's very clear. If you're studying about the affairs of the hereafter and the attributes of the angels, so on and so forth, it's very clear. But even when discussing these affairs, this is the point. These are from the affairs of the hereafter. Kana al-majalisu Ahmed, majalis al-akhirah.
the gatherings of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, they're the gatherings of the hereafter. Wallahi, the first time I read this, I was amazed. Wallahi, I was amazed. This is an amazing affair. Wallahi, I hope that these gatherings will be gatherings of the hereafter. Meaning that they gather together to remember Allah and to learn the deen of Allah, to seek the pleasure of Allah with hopes to apply that knowledge and draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this requires for a person to be sincere and for a person to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because death is something that we cannot escape. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in His book, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِيكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدًا. No matter where you're at, death is going to catch up with you, even if you're in high lofty buildings and fortified, even if you're in a fortress, and even if you've taken all the means, whenever it's prescribed for you, whenever it's decreed for you, death will come to you. Rather, you will go to that place that Allah has decreed that you will die at that time and that place. And it's been mentioned authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whenever the time draws near for a person, that it will be placed in his heart the desire to go to that place. It will be placed in his heart the desire to go to a particular place, and that place is the place that Allah has decreed for him to die. He's not in that place right now, but the time is coming. So now it will come into his heart that he will go there. He's thinking he's going to the store, he's thinking he's visiting his family, but in reality, the reason why what's calling him there is because Allah has decreed at this time and that place, his soul will be taken. His soul will be taken. This is something that you do not know, and I do not know, and the angels do not know. Only Allah knows. Al-Wahid al-Qahar. And no one can escape it. This is the reality. And if someone does not believe, then as Allah, He mentioned, then let them take the soul back and stop the angels whenever it's that time. So this is the reality that we have to prepare for. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. So every soul is going to taste death. Allah, He mentioned in His book, in more than one verse, this portion here, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul is going to taste death. And you are only be recompensed, you're rewarded full on the day of resurrection. So whoever is distanced away from the hellfire and admitted into paradise, then he is the winner. فَقَدْ فَازَ. And this is the one who has achieve the supreme success. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this worldly life is nothing but a brief, deceptive enjoyment. So we should not be deceived by this worldly life, by the glitter of this worldly life, and by those who are deceived by this worldly life. Rather, you have to be a stranger. Rather a passerby. And you have to have knowledge and you see for what it is. This life will not last. So you can partake from this life, you can enjoy in this life and the limits of Allah, because you have to prepare for the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, he hopes to be distanced from the hellfire and he hopes to be admitted into paradise. But this is something that is not free. And this is not something that is obtained by false hopes. Allah, He says, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِي أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. It's not by your false hopes, nor the false hopes of the people of the book. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. Whoever does evil, he'll be recompensed for that. So therefore, we have to take this life seriously, take our soul seriously, take our deen seriously, take our religion seriously, and work in seeking knowledge and learning the legislation that was prescribed and revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, holding fast to that guidance and preferring that over the desires and the whims of our own soul and of anything else in this worldly life, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to summarize now, the means to be distanced from the hellfire and to be admitted into paradise is to hold fast to as-sirat al-mustaqim. It's to hold fast and to traverse upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of the great importance of this affair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and made it obligatory, mandatory upon the believers 17 times in a day to beg Him for guidance to that path. Guide us to the path and guide us on the path and guide us to be firm and steadfast upon the path. In the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Al-Fatiha, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. This is a supplication that's mandatory, a mandatory supplication. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. This is a mandatory supplication. It's an obligation upon every sound-minded believer of the age of puberty to say it 17 times a day. To say it 17 times a day. This is a supplication. We must realize this whenever we're in our salah, whenever we're praying behind the imam or alone, and the lights like this, that we're calling on Allah and begging Him to guide us to the straight path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. This is supplication. This is a request. This is an invocation. You're calling on Allah and you're hoping to obtain guidance. Guidance to the straight path. Guidance to the straight path. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies. صراط الذين نمت عليهم. The straight path. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. What is the straight path? Or who is on the straight path? The path of those whom you have bestowed your favors and blessings upon. The path of those whom you have bestowed your favors and blessings upon. The greatest favor and blessing is the blessing of al-Islam. The blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal cannot be counted nor enumerated. When تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله. If you count the blessings of Allah, you cannot enumerate them. And any blessing and favor you have, indeed it's from Allah. Indeed it's from Allah. But the greatest and the most important blessing is the blessing of al-Islam. The blessing of guidance to the straight path. And the blessing of guidance on the straight path. And there's a difference between guidance to the straight path and guidance on the straight path. And then likewise, guidance to be firm and steadfast on the straight path. All of these are different types of guidance. There's general guidance and there's detailed guidance. And there is a guidance of making one firm and steadfast into what he prefers to follow that guidance. Because many people, they're guided, they obtain beneficial knowledge, but they do not prefer it. So therefore, they fall off and they go astray. They follow their whims or their desires, or they listen to the devils and the deviant and the likes like this, and they go astray. So therefore, a believer, he is in need of guidance every breath of his life, every moment of his life, every step on the way. So this is why it's legislated to say this many times in one day, اهدنا صراط مستقيم. But we have to call on Allah with a heart that is sincere. We have to realize our great need for guidance, especially whenever we're reciting the Fatiha, especially whenever we're in the obligatory prayer, that we're begging Allah. We're begging Allah to give us guidance, to give us light, to give us knowledge, to give us understanding, to give us success, to implement the knowledge, to be firm and steadfast upon His deen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say in his supplication, more than any other supplication, as has been narrated from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّقْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّقْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ. Oh, turner of the hearts, oh Allah, make my heart firm upon your deen. Because some hearts, they come to the deen, but they're not firm and they go away. Or they fall weak and they become wishy-washy. They become weak and they مذبذبين وليعوذ بالله, like hypocrites, partaking in this and this and this one and joining this one and following this one, picking and choosing from the legislation that which is suitable in their best interest, instead of submitting and surrendering to Allah wholeheartedly and complying to Him in obedience inwardly and outwardly. So we're in need of guidance. We're in need of guidance. Guidance to the straight path. Guidance to the straight path, the path of those whom Allah has bestowed His blessings and favors upon. So now if we ask ourselves a question, who are they? Who are the ones whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon? This is a wonderful question. This is a very important question. A question that each one of us must know the answer to. Each and every one of us must know the answer to in detail. And Allah, He clarified this in His book, in Surah An-Nisa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَهُ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's these, they are in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His bounties and favors upon. His bounties and favors upon. So number one, those who are in the company of those whom Allah had bestowed His bounties and favors upon, they are those who obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You cannot obey Allah if you do not know Him, and if you do not know His obedience. You cannot obey the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you do not know Him, and if you do not know what is considered obedience to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these affairs, they require knowledge. And then Allah, He clarified in greater detail who they are, and the path. Who is this path ascribed to? Sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim, the path of those whom you have bestowed your blessings upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَصِدِّيقِينَ وَشُهَدَاءِ وَصَالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. From amongst the prophets, النبيين والصديقين, the truthful, والشهداء, and the martyrs, والصالحين, and the righteous. And such great company this is. And such great company this is. So we're asking to be on the path of the prophets, and the path of the siddiqeen, any of those who are truthful, sincerely truthful, and the path of those who are martyrs, who died and gave their very soul and life for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, to raise and establish His deen, the shahada and la ilaha illallah, wanna Muhammad Rasulullah. Their life was taken in this cause. In this cause, we're asking to be in the company with the likes of these people and the righteous. And the righteous. And the righteous. The head of the prophets is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the head of the siddiqeen is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu And when the head of the martyrs is Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum, and the Salihin, the righteous, at the head of them are the rest of the noble companions, radiallahu anhum, and those who followed them from the Tabi'een, Atba' Tabi'een, until this day. So we're asking to be upon their path. So to summarize now, we're asking 17 times a day as a mandatory requirement to be upon the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. To be on the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the rest of the companions. And the rest of the companions. Because this is what Allah He mentioned. This is the path of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. It is the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the prophets. And it's the path of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the rest of the truthful. And it's the path of Umar, Uthman, and Ali and the rest of the martyrs. And it's the path of all of the Sahaba and the rest of the righteous. So this is of utmost importance to realize. That this is the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. We want to be on the straight path, and you have to be on the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inwardly and outwardly. You have to be on the way of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, and the rest of the companions, inwardly and outwardly. You cannot oppose them and their way and be on the straight path. It's not possible. Because their path is the straight path. This is what Allah He mentioned in His book. These are two verses we just mentioned. One of them is Surah Al-Fatiha, the other one is in Surah An-Nisa. These verses, one clarifies the other. So those whom Allah had bestowed His favors and blessings on are these people here. This is their path. Allah, He says, the path of those whom You have bestowed Your favors and blessings upon. So Allah has described that path as being their path, and that Allah has favored them and bestowed blessings upon them by making them from the people of that path. So if you hope to have good, you have to be upon their way and upon their path, not on any other path or any other way that's contrary. Or not upon any other path or any other way that's contrary, regardless of how many people follow it, regardless of how many people decorate it, regardless of how appealing it may seem. If you see that it's clearly in contradiction to this way, you must leave it, and your soul is at danger. And this is the trial and test in this life. وَكُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِشَرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Every soul is going to taste death, and we try you with evil and with good, with bad and with good, and your good times and bad times, and problems and tests and tests and trials and the likes like this, and you're going to return back to us. So don't be tried by the glitter and the delight of this life, or by the majority of the people, so on and so forth. Rather, you must follow and hold fast to the knowledge that you learn. This is the means of success, by seeking knowledge with the intention to apply this knowledge. It's been narrated from Abu al-Ariyah, rahimahullah ta'ala al-Riyahi. He died in the year 93. From the Tabi'een, he was asked about a Sirat al-Mustaqim. What does that mean? What is the interpretation of a Sirat al-Mustaqim? He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, huwa an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sahibahu min ba'dihi, Abu Bakr wa Umar. He said, a Sirat al-Mustaqim, it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his two companions after him, Abu Bakr and Umar. This is his interpretation. What is the straight path? The straight path is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma. This is the understanding of the best generation. So therefore we have to know the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and know the way of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma and the rest of the companions in order to truly understand Islam in its proper sense, in its true light, without any additions or subtractions, or without any impurities in the likes like this, without any innovations. We must learn the way of the companions, radiallahu anhum. Allah Azza wa Jalla likewise, He clarified in great detail, even contrary to this, after clarifying the path of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon, He clarified likewise the contrary. غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَالضَّالِينَ. Not the path of those who are under anger, nor of those who have gone astray. So here we're asking for guidance. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Allah guide us to the straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The path of those whom You have bestowed Your favors and blessings upon. We have seen who they are. But likewise, the supplication is even in greater detail. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Not the path of those who are under anger, and not the path of those who went astray. So we're asking for guidance, specific guidance to the path of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. We have seen previously from the verse in Nisa that these are those who obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the head of them, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abu Bakr, and Umar, and Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum, and the rest of the companions. This is what we're asking to be like. We want to be on that path. We want to be on their way. We want to be guided to what they were guided to. We want to believe in what they believed in. We want to worship how they worship. We want to carry ourselves the way they carried themselves. We want to believe in the halal that they believed was halal. We want to believe in the haram that they believed was haram. We want to follow the path that they were on. This is what we're asking. We don't want to follow the path of those who are in the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla, nor do we want to follow the path of those who have gone astray. So there's hope here and there's fear. You're hoping to be guided to this path and you're dreading to be led astray or left on the path of those who are in the anger of Allah. It's been collected by Tirmidhi from the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Maghdub alayhim humul Yahud, wad balun hum al-Nasara. That those who are in the anger of Allah, they're the Jews. And those who have gone astray, they are the Christians. To summarize, the people of knowledge have mentioned this because the Jews, they have knowledge, yet they did not implement it properly, sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet they did not implement it and uphold it properly, sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why they're described as donkeys with books on their backs. غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَنَهُمْ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِ وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتِ وَبَأُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ. This is the case of the Jews, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, they have anger on top of anger. And Allah, the wrath of Allah is upon them in this life and in the hereafter. As for the Christians, they went astray because they have no knowledge and they speak about Allah without knowledge, thus ascribing a son to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ عَلُوًا كَبِيرًا. And they lie in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and innovate. As for the people, those whom Allah had bestowed His favor and blessings upon, then they're the people who have gathered between beneficial knowledge and the application of that in righteous actions. So with beneficial knowledge, they're safe. They're safe from the way of the Christians. And with the application of the righteous actions, they're safe from the way of the Jews. And along with that, they're sincere and truthful in that knowledge and application. And therefore, they're safe from the ways of the hypocrites. And this is why they're on the straight path. And this is the means to be on the straight path. The path of those whom Allah had bestowed His favors and blessings upon. It's collected by Imam Ahmad and Darimi from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khattan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew a line for us one day, meaning on the ground. ثم خط عن يمينه وشماله خطوطا. And then he drew on the right and on the left of that lines. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pointing to the straight line, هذا سبيل الله. This is the path of Allah. And then he said about the lines going to the side, he said, هذه سبل. على رأس كل واحد منها شيطان يدعو إليها. At the head of every one of them is a devil calling to it. So the path of Allah is one, and the path of Allah is straight. And leading away from the path of Allah, there are many, many different pathways, many different deviations from doubts and misconceptions, innovations in creed and belief and methodology and way and worship, and likewise in sins and transgression and violation of rights and the like like this. These are pathways that lead away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقُوا بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. This is my straight path, you must follow it. And do not follow the other pathways, or else it will take you away from His path. So the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the straight path, and it's one path. And it's the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. It's the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. We all know the narration of Irbad ibn Sariyah, which is collected by At-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a tremendous admonition. And then he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسِيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Indeed, whoever lives after me from you, he's going to see much differing. And he prophesizing of the problems that are going to come into the ummah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after mentioning the problems that are going to occur, this differing amongst the believers, and their creed and their methodology and their way and their worship, so on and so forth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the cure. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ. And you must hold fast to my sunnah, my law and legal ways. And the law and legal ways, the sunnah of the خُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ. تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَضُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. You must hold fast to it and bite onto it with your motor teeth. So here, whenever there's trials, whenever there's fitin, whenever there's differing in the ranks of the believers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us to the cure and to the means to solve these problems and to alleviate these differences. And that is to hold fast to his sunnah and the sunnah of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. رضي الله عنهم الذين هم الخلفاء الرَّاشِدُونَ الْمَهْدِيُونَ. They are the khulafa, the rightly guided khulafa. They are the rightly guided khulafa. So therefore, it's incumbent to learn the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions and follow that way. And follow that way. So the true Islam, the Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, the Islam that was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the Islam of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, and the rest of the companions. Not any other Islam. Not any other Islam. It's not possible that there could be something called Islam and it's truly Islam, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not from their way. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lived in Mecca for 13 years. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling to Tawheed, warning from Shirk. And then after that, he moved to Medina and he lived there for 10 more years. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, establishing the religion, fighting jihad for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And fighting jihad for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And people are entering into the fold of Islam, some of them with him from the very beginning. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abu Bakr, for example, with him from the very beginning all the way into the end of his life. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by his side while he's traveling and while he's at home. And he had a number of wives and the likes like this. All of them lived after him for many years. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying how he lived, learning from him directly in his home, in his house, on residence, in the masjid, whenever he's traveling, in the market. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prescribed laws are being revealed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching his companions and they're learning at his hands. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're applying in the way that he applied, and they're moving the way that he moved, and they're praying the way that he prayed, and they're fasting the way that he fasted. They made hajj the way he made hajj. Tawadda'u nahwa wudu'i hadha. He said, make wudu the way I make wudu. Wa sallu kama ra'aytumuni sallam. Pray the way you see me pray. Khudhu anni manasikakum. Take from me your sacred rites of hajj. They're the ones who witnessed this, they heard this, and they implemented that and carried it on to those after them until it reached us today. So how could it be from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they did not know about it nor transmit it to us? It's not possible. Not to mention that at the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but less than 80 days before his death, on the day of Arafah, on the day of Jumu'ah and Hajjat al-Wada', it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. On this day, I have completed your religion for you. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And I have perfected my favor upon you. The favor of al-Islam. I have perfected my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ al-Islam. Deenan. I'm pleased with that Islam as a religion and way of life for you. So whatever was not deen on that day, it will never be deen today. This is exactly the understanding of Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned this exact statement. This is an amazing affair. And this is so true. Even the sound mind can realize it and cannot deny it. It's not possible to deny it for one who has a sound mind. Ma lam yukun yawma idhin deena, fala yukun al-yawma deena. Whatever was not deen on that day, it will never be deen today. Whatever was not deen on that day, it will never be deen today. The revelation was finalized. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he strove for 23 years receiving revelation and clarifying the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Receiving revelation and clarifying the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, teaching the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail, in refuting falsehood and clarifying the tawheed and refuting the shirk and the likes like this and clarifying the dangers of the affairs that lead to disobedience and to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And his companions are learning that from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the religion was completed at the revelation of this verse. And then somebody wants to come along later and say that there's a religion or a deen or something that's from Islam that they didn't know about. This is not possible. So therefore, the religion of al-Islam is the religion of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum. Radiallahu anhum. That's the religion of Islam. The religion of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The religion of Abdullah ibn Abbas. The religion of Aisha and Salama radiallahu anhum. The religion of the companions. This is the religion of Allah. That's why you find the deviant sects, the greatest enemies of Islam, you find the first thing they do is find fault with the companions. Because if you take out the companions, you take out the religion. You take out the religion. So they cannot say something bad about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we'll never accept that from them. And they'll be exposed. So what do? They go to the ones who transmitted from him and carried the deen. They want to cut the chain from us and our Prophet, because the companions, they're our witnesses. They're the ones who witnessed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed us that he came and that the revelation was revealed, and they transmitted that. And they transmitted his sunnah, his very, every last little bitty detail, they transmitted that. With great trust and obedience and with great honor and dignity, radiallahu anhum. So therefore, their religion is the true religion and their deen is the true deen. And they're called as-sahaba al-kiram, radiallahu anhum. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them, khayrun nas, قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best of mankind is my generation, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. So these three generations here, they're known as the قرون, القرون الثلاثة المفضلة. القرون الثلاثة المفضلة. The three most virtuous generations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised them in this narration. At the head of them are the companions, and then those who followed them from the tabi'un, and then those who followed them from the atba' tabi'in. This is that these people here, they're the ones whom Allah has chosen to be the carriers of this religion. And the religion of al-Islam that is accepted is the religion that they were upon. And any religion that's ascribed to al-Islam that's contrary to what they're upon is rejected and will never be accepted. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He clarified in His book, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever seeks other than al-Islam as a religion and way of life, it will never be accepted from him in the hereafter. He'll be from the losers. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Whoever seeks other than Islam, meaning other than the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other than the way of his companions, other than the way that he taught his companions and they applied it and he approved of that sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was carried on after them, then it would be rejected. It would never be accepted. فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. It will never be accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the well-known narration of Aisha radiyallahu anha, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever does a deed that's not in accordance to our affair, not in accordance to our deen, not in accordance to our sunnah, laws and legal ways, then it will be rejected. It will be rejected. So anything that was not deen on that day, anything that was not from the understanding, the application of the noble companions radiyallahu anhum, it will never be religion, no matter who applies, no matter who does it, or no matter how many people follow it, no matter what country praises it, and the likes like this, is not going to be at Islam. It's not possible. It's not possible. So do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Learn the religion of al-Islam from the proper sources, from the proper manner. Learn the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the scholars of hadith from the tabi'in and the atba' tabi'in and those upon their way. This is the religion that is the rope of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the deen and the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah Azza. And this is as-sirat al-mustaqim. And this is as-sirat al-mustaqim. So many evidences with regards to this affair, and so many ayat and so many hadith clarifying the obligation of following the noble companions radiyallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhum. Which time do we have? Did Imam come yet? He didn't come yet. We're good, huh? Huh? It's good, alhamdulillah. It's good, alhamdulillah. So we have so many narrations. We begin with the narration of Abu Ali. He says, Abu Ali, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, alaykum bil amr al-awwal alladhi kanu alayhi qabla an tafarraqu. You must hold fast to the first affair, that which they were upon before they differed. And he differed away from the way of the companions. When did they differ? Whenever the Khawarij came. So before there was differing and before the Khawarij came, this is what you hold on to. The way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions before these deviations, they came. It's been narrated by Al-Auza'i rahimahullah ta'ala that he said, اسبر نفسك على السنة وقف حيث وقف القوم وقول بما قالوا وكف عما كفوا عنه واسلك سبيل سلفك الصالح فإنه يسعك ما وسعهم. That you must make yourself patient upon the sunnah and stop where the people stopped, and where the companions they stopped رضي الله عنهم, and you say what they said, and you are silent about what they were silent about, and you must traverse the path of your pious predecessors. واسلك سبيل سلفك الصالح. Al-Auza'i rahimahullah, he died in the year 157. This terminology is nothing new. He said, and you must traverse and follow the way of your pious predecessors, referring to the companions, radiyallahu anhum specifically. Referring to the companions, radiyallahu anhum specifically. These are our pious predecessors. فَإِنَّهُ يَسَعُكَ مَا وَسِيَمْ. Because it will suffice you that which sufficed them. It will suffice you that which suffice them. And he said, likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala, عَلَيْكَ بِأَثَارِ مَنْ سَلَفْ وَإِنْ رَفَضَكَ النَّاسِ وَإِيَّكَ وَأَرَى الرِّجَالِ وَزَخَفُوهَا بِالْقَوْلِ. That you must hold fast to the narrations of the Salaf, and those who preceded you. And even if the people, they reject you. Even if the people, they reject you, and watch out for the opinions of the people. Even if they adorn them and decorate them with their speech. It's been mentioned by Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala that he says, usul as-sunnah indana atamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa iqtida'u bihim وَتَرَكُوا الْبِدَعَ, that the fundamentals of the sunnah with us is that which the companions they were upon, رضي الله عنهم, and taking them as a role model, and turning away and leaving innovation. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.